Morning, guys. If you're in Australia, evening if you're in Europe, and sorry for the delay because guess what? We've got Wi-Fi issues again. But like always, we find a way. And we've got Johnny Trevorrow live. He's found his headphones just. His pitch is a bit scratchy, folks, but he's given us some pre-race and post-race interviews as expected, so we won't be talking too much. But it was another big stage, and we actually had a comment before we went live from Anne Daly saying, epic stage update incoming. She's excited. Pretty big day, Johnny.
Yeah. Well, it was an amazing day, actually. The break went. My pick, Fred Wright, was in the break, and I was really dark because I tried to interview him this morning and missed him at the last second. I had him booked in and everything. So I'll stir him up tomorrow. But, he was laid down as air when it comes towards the finale between here and Harry. But Jesus crucified them, as I said.
Mm. Yeah, well, let's have a look at the stage results. Jesus Herrera, obviously won from Cofidis. Freddie Wright, he hit out. And at one point there, you'd be thinking, oh, he's going to do it. He's going to break free. And it would have been... Geez, quite emotional. I mean, it was emotional that he got third or right up there again. Didn't get the chocolates. But, the Aussie Harry Sweeney was up there as well, iffy.
Yeah, it was an amazing break. It was interesting. I was listening to the expert commentators talking it back at 20K to go, 30K. They're going to get caught. And I said to Vazzy, they're not catching these guys. These guys are committed. They're bloody strong, and they're not going to get caught. And, they didn't get caught. They deserved it. It was a fantastic. I felt for Fred. Even though, of course, Harry, we were barracking for, being Aussies, I just felt, Fred was the man. He was the strongest. But he let out too early, actually. So it'll be interesting. I'm going to get him in the morning and stir him up.
Oh, no doubt. Well, let's get straight into it. You've done a whole heap of interviews before the start. We'll go through that. There's a lot to unpack. You want to talk about the Australian team selection for the Worlds. So there's plenty to get through on the show. But here's all the interviews before the start of Stage 7.
Robin, how are you, mate? A tough day in the office yesterday.
Yeah, tough day, but same for everyone, really. It looks obviously really cold, but it was just really wet. It was a bit like a Queensland winter day, I think. So it wasn't, like, for me, I don't mind the cold. The wet's a little bit annoying, but hopefully we get some warmer weather. It is the world.
So for Primoz, he'd be disappointed in losing a minute more, but he had to do all of the work in the chase group. No one helped him at all. So he was still fairly strong.
Yeah, he's still going strong. I think any day where it's hotter, he'll be better as well. He's one of those runners that I envy in summer. He gets better and I get worse. So, let's hope for some warmer weather, and that hopefully means that he'll be in better shape like he was in the first couple of days.
An interesting stage today with a big climb halfway in the stage.
Yeah, I think it opens it up to a possibility of a strong breakaway. It's going to be hard to bring the break back after that. But also there's probably two interested teams in Ineos and Trek with Mads and Hayter. So I'm sure Mads would want to try and get rid of Bennett and get some more points for the green jersey.
Good luck today, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Caden Groves, it's not really your territory the next couple of days. I just wanted to ask you what it's like for a sprinter to get through these stages.
Today's a tough one because we're coming into such a hard weekend. It might be a reduced bunch kick today. Obviously, on paper, it looks like a day for the break, but I think there'll be a lot of sprinters trying to get another sprint because there's not that many around. So, yeah, luckily here we've had some pretty big gruppettos, which is like good, big, good, safe group going to the line, and everyone trying to get through as fresh as possible.
All right, mate. Just wanted to check on how you're going.
How am I? I'm going all right, I think. I'm pretty keen for today. I'm big climbing okay, so getting through relatively fresher than the other sprinters, I hope. And, hopefully some of the sprint favourites can get dropped today.
Good luck today, mate. Hi, Jai. How are you, mate?
Yeah,
so pretty rough day in the office yesterday. How was it for you?
Yeah, it was a pretty hard day, you know. When the rain started coming down after that descent, then it really made the rest of the stage pretty stressful, and, you know, it just adds another dynamic into the race with on all the descents and everything. You know, you just use a lot more energy, so in the end it was a really, really tough stage, and this last climb was pretty brutal. You know, I think if you had the legs, you could more or less be there, but it was basically just like a full gas effort from bottom to top.
Great ride by Jay.
I mean, chapeau, like the guy, you know, I've got a lot of respect for him, you know, the way he goes about himself, and the way he got his contract, you know, it's pretty crazy, you know, so chapeau to him. And also yesterday it was like, I think a lot of people know that he has that talent and the power, but yeah, to do it is another thing, and yesterday he just smoked everyone, so what more can you say? I mean, congrats to him. It was an epic ride and well deserved, so happy for him.
Good luck today, mate.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Iffy, how are you, mate?
I'm well, buddy. So how did you enjoy your little day out of the sunshine yesterday?
Look, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. We got a little bit of dry, but then it really came down. But look, I think as a team, we did all right. It was awesome to see for me to see Jay climb so well. That was pretty special to see him get his first win on a stage like this. Look, it's all still to play for. Unfortunately, Richie lost a bit of time, but we still got three guys up there, and you never know what's going to happen.
So interesting stage today with that big climb in the middle of it. What do you think will happen?
Yeah, it's very similar to Norway. We did a stage like this in Norway where it was just a climb in the middle of nowhere and then almost a plateau to the finish line. Look, I think it's a day for the lighter sprinters. I know we're going to try offload some of the bigger boys and give Ethan a real good chance in that gallop at the end. And I think Trek are going to have the same idea and probably bike exchange with Caden as well. I expect there to be quite a fair bit of pressure on that middle climb, mainly from the sprinter teams as well. I think the GC guys will look to recover a bit. I think we'll try to put a bit of pressure on that climb, offload some of the bigger boys, and see how Ethan goes in a gallop.
Good luck today, mate.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Jay Vine, good morning. How is it the day after, mate?
Yeah, good. I think I got to bed around 12 o'clock after all the circus after the stage. But yeah, feeling good. It's a bit of an easier stage today, and I think we've still got guys that can do well, even on this stage. So, yeah.
Now, it was interesting. I'm glad I was up there at the finish, as terrible as it was to witness that, because it was pretty special. And one of the journalists asked you, now that you've shown you're one of the strongest climbers in the race, what's going to happen coming up? And you felt you weren't, but I disagree with that, mate.
Yeah, I think there's multiple things at play there. Definitely had an advantage by not being up close on time at that point in the race. I don't really put myself in with the GC candidates. Still 7 minutes down. We'll have to see what happens later in the race, but today's not for me. Today's for another rider. But I'm just stoked with ticking off my goal of getting that stage win.
What impressed me, and you probably didn't realise it because you've jumped away and you think they're letting you go, but you, for a long while, like 5 or 6 kilometres, you're only like 20 seconds in front of Remco Evenepoel, who was chasing flat out. Not just to put time into Roglic, but to win the stage, but he couldn't catch you.
Like Norway, when he jumped away from me, and it was the opposite. Kept having that through my radio that, you know, Remco is 20 seconds, 20 seconds, 18 seconds, 25 seconds. And all of a sudden, it wasn't the problem of trying to catch Padun, it was trying to keep away from Remco. In another world, if Mas helps pace, perhaps the gap comes down. Yeah, it was hell all the way to the last 500 metres. That's when I think I finally was able to really enjoy it.
Yeah, well, good luck, mate. And I've got to tell you, I think this is the rebirth of the real Jay Vine. We're going to see some things happen for you in the future, mate.
Thank you so much. I'm so stoked. Cheers.
Morning, Ben. How was it yesterday for you, mate?
Yeah, it was a pretty grim day, but I managed to save it. It was a bit unlucky with the puncture at pretty much like the worst moment, so I did quite a big effort at the bottom of the climb. And I actually felt pretty good at the bottom, but obviously the little effort after the puncture hurt me, but
yeah, managed to save it. We noticed that you're sort of sitting with the group. You never looked like completely in stress, but you didn't look as comfortable as you would want to be.
No, that's for sure. It wasn't my best day, so at least I didn't lose really much time, or I didn't really, bar the two boys in front, didn't really lose much, so I can be happy about how yesterday went, to be honest, because it could have been worse.
And it was a good day for the Aussies anyway.
Yeah, it was a pretty spectacular ride there. He must have pushed some, he was pretty incredible what he did.
And today, what do you, it's a strange day today with that hill right in the middle of the stage.
Yeah, I think the breakaway's definitely got a good chance, but there's definitely teams that will want to ride. I think any Austin track in particular will want to win today. So it's going to be a nice little battle between those two.
Good luck today, mate.
No, it's cheers.
All right, that's all the interviews pre-race. And, you know, doubling down again on what we're talking about with Jay Vine. Such an amazing story, not just with the Zwift Academy, but, you know, you read some of the articles, and we spoke to him on the podcast 12 months ago, and, you know, the fact that him and his partner, they sold all their belongings and, you know, moved to Girona and, you know, went all chips in on his cycling career and to get a Grand Tour stage victory. I mean, you know, not just ticking a box of a goal, but what that does for a rider's career, particularly with contracts. I mean, that could take you from a rider that might be on 250, 300 to 500. You know, there's big money involved as well once you're a Grand Tour stage winner.
I can tell you, mate, that win is bigger than that, because you win a Grand Tour stage and suddenly, as you just said, there's the increments, they go up. But when you win a Grand Tour stage and you ride away from all the best GC riders on the real big climb, and you have a Vanderpol chasing you down and he can't catch you, that will have antennas popping up everywhere.
That's about 400 grand, that win.
More. Seriously. Well, it shows that this young guy, because I know he's young, is capable of doing anything.
Mm. 500 grand.
You know, so, wonderful story. Yes. All of those things. I've got terrible internet issues here. I'm up in the room and nothing's working.
Your framing's rubbish.
So forgetting all of that, I'm hoping that it's not doing what I'm seeing, where it's jumping all the way through those interviews. Were they okay?
They were fine, mate. They were fine. Your audio cut out with Jay Vine. That was just a technical glitch, but we got the bones of
fixed
it.
We fixed that. Okay. All right.
But that's the beauty of the detour. We're not polished. You know, there's a delay at the moment. We're over-talking each other. Why don't we go for a drinks break, regroup, and we'll bring this thing home and just get it done. So stay tuned.
Sounds like a good idea.
Look at this bike. You think it's just a bike, right? But it's not. It's a bike. 374 people are looking at. This guy, this girl, them. All looking at it. People from here, there, and wherever this is. People that are looking for a bike. Or just a piece of it. Amateurs. Semi-amateurs. And pro amateurs. This guy wants this bike, but with this crank and these bars, this could be the perfect match. But not this one. This girl has a bike to sell, and thousands of people might purchase it. Eyes on Bikes help grow small businesses. His, hers, yours, and the latest data and insights help those businesses keep moving. We are the world's number one bike marketplace, with over 500,000 products and 900 brands, where buyers and sellers are brought together in a place where a bike is never just a bike. Bike Exchange, where the world buys, sells, learns, and rides.
Well, what can we say about Bike Exchange that we haven't said for the past 2.5 years? They're absolute superstars. If you need anything,
there's nothing we've said that hasn't been said, but we should say it again anyway, Dan. They are great.
Well, I was halfway through my spill and you cut me off again because your internet's no good. So I was about to go into, you know, if you need a road bike, mountain bike, e-bike, anything bike related, get on bikeyshows.com.au. But you are just in the mode of cutting people off, John. You've warmed up the first seven stages and away you go.
Yeah, well, whatever. I actually had one of the guys come up and apologize to me today. One of the guys you reckon I cut off actually come up and apologize to me because he's not a rights holder and he should have let me ask the first question. So there you go.
Oh, well, as I said, it's all protocol. All right, let's go through a couple of the live comments. Ann Daly says, Cofidis wins the stage, crack open the bubbly, or is that bottle reserved for the Tour de France? They have been the butt of the jokes for a few years about the wins at the Tour de France.
He might be a French team, but he's Spanish, so it didn't do much good. But I've got to tell you, hats off to that group today. Fantastic. Those five riders just committed. And it was about 20K out there. I just said, they're going to get these guys. But I wonder what would have happened. When you look at the bunch who was chasing, you had Trek on the front because Mads Pedersen, win the stage. And also Bike Exchange for Caden, who's pretty quite well. But the one who didn't join in much were Bora. And they had Sam. Sam Bennett was there. He won the sprint in the end. And that's the whole thing. When you've got a team that's all supporting the GC guys, they haven't got those extra riders to throw to the front to help him. And he probably would have won the stage today if they could have committed a couple to do that. So it's interesting how you got a balance. I'm going to get Sam Bennett in the morning and ask him about that balance.
Good point. And when you talk to Jay Vine, just say, look, mate, let's talk brass tacks. We reckon that win's worth 500 grand. Are you renegotiating your contract or what? Kim Dixon, yep. She says, got him lining up, John. Madam KV says, thanks for another fantastic detour, fellas. Yesterday, the GC contenders leaned on Primoz to catch Remco. Is that because they didn't have the legs to attack?
Oh, without doubt. Every one of those riders, I spoke to a few of them, even though we didn't get them all there, they were all just hanging on Primoz as well. They couldn't really do anything. If they had anyone had anything, they would have tried to go with a Vinopal. So a Vinopal was a minute quicker than them, and they couldn't do anything about it. And they were all at around about the same level as Primoz. So even though he dropped a minute, he wasn't going bad. I mean, it didn't look like he struggled. He was the strongest one in the chase. But Remco was just on another level. And Mass managed to stay with him, but only just. He just held the wheel. He couldn't do anything. So if any of those riders had had a fraction, they would have jumped to be with them. So they couldn't do anything. They didn't just sit back, oh, well, let Primoz do it. They're all at their limit. So it was a wonderful, wonderful test of what's going on in this Vuelta. And at this stage, you'd say it's, hats off to Remco Evenepoel. He's young. A lot of people saying, oh, he can't get through, 3 weeks. He hasn't proven it. Well, he hasn't had a chance yet. I'd pick him now. I reckon he's going to win this Vuelta.
We've got an interesting comment here from Pablo Gomez. He says, love the show, guys. A bit sad about John's comments about the relationship between Colombia and the drug trafficking business. It's all about demand supply. We've got a lot more other than drugs. I can't remember you saying anything about that, but I remember it's a good point in that.
I got to tell you, no, I made a flippant remark about something about Colombia. There's no drugs in there. And I'll tell you what, chapeau to, I forgot who just put me up, because Pablo. I thought after I said it, that's a stupid remark. Because Colombia has this wonderful cycling heritage. You know, it goes back a long, long while. And cycling is such a huge sport in Colombia. And so I'm sorry if that was taken that way because it was not how it was meant. It was just one of my stupid, iffy remarks.
He said it was when we were talking about Nairo Quintana. I want to throw my hat in the ring because when I obviously had a very good relationship with Esteban Chavez and we did a lot of content, with the Green Edge team over the years. And one of the things he used to talk to me early days was about the perception of Colombia for exactly that. And all the, you know, stories about, you know, Pablo Escobar and particularly the Western world, you know, that's all they really got fed. And he said that one of his objectives by starting his foundation was he wanted to show people through his story. He said, I don't care what I do as a bike rider. I want to be known as what I do through my foundation, giving kids a chance, you know, cycling, showing the people. And through that journey, they are some of the best people I've ever met. And those experiences when he almost won the Vuelta and the Giro, and to see the passion of the fans, yeah, that hopefully shone through during that period, because for me, you know, that's what stands out when you mention the word Colombia. And that's both of us. You know, flipping comment is not what you truly feel. And as you said, as soon as you said it, you would have thought,
And look, you know what? I almost, I had it back at the time. And I remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, when I was racing over there, and the Colombians were really starting to go well. There was a couple of individuals, but then Cafe Colombia, a whole team were on the Tour de France. You know, just amazing time. So I'm a big fan of Colombian cycling, and I didn't mean to infer that, because, you know, there's a few Aussies who have been caught up in that terrible situation of drugs and stuff, and it doesn't label a whole nation. And Colombia have the other issue of there being a drug issue in the country, and you shouldn't tie the two together. So apologies for that.
One thing I will say, Pablo, is Aussies are known as laid-back, beer-drinking dickheads, and John fits them old at times. So you gotta just roll the punches. All right, let's have a look at the post-race interviews that you got after the finish of Stage 7.
Okay, we're up there. It was very close, but... tell us about
I mean, that's a real shame today. Bit of negativity once we got back on, but like, guys did an incredible job, waited for me. About 3K from the top, I was dropped. Probably pushed a bit too much wind at the base of the climb, like riding better position, but I don't know. I mean, either that or there's some guys that are climbing super, because I was on a pretty good one, and got dropped in the end, but the guys waited and rode us back on, and then from there, so super, well, not negative between us and Arkea. You know, those guys backing their sprinters, but teams like Ineos or Bora deciding not to ride so much and break straight away. Obviously working well together and strong group of guys, and pretty disappointed. Pretty
good
disappointed.
Good ride, bud. We saw you driving, but you couldn't bring it back.
Yeah, I mean, the brake was strong. They had a good ride, but you can only go so fast. So, what under the breakaway? Modern cycling, really. You know, you have to kick the breakaway at 1 minute, because there's so many motorbikes. The bunch is just ridiculous. I mean, we're nearly sprinting on the front, trying to bring a breakaway back of 7, and they've been out there for nearly 200k, so, and we can't even get close to them. So, is what it is. Good job. Good job for the breakaway. You use the motorbikes if they're there. So do we. But yeah, just makes for a bit negative racing anyway. So we tried. It's unfortunate. Try again.
I like that you're adhering to the COVID protocols there, Iffy.
It slipped. slipped. I've had one all the time. But the problem I have is that I try to pull it down when I'm talking, because it's muffled. And Vazzy's supposed to cut me out of that. But,
Vazzy. No, I was talking about the hands on the back.
I'm joking with Vazzy. Vazzy's been amazing. And I'm the one who creates all the problems. But anyway.
No, you're not creating problems. Now, one of the big things that you wanted to talk about was the selection for the Australian team for the Worlds. Let's have a look at the elite men. They've picked Simon Clark, Luke Durbridge, Heinrich Hauser, Jai Hindley, Michael Matthews, who will be the leader, Ben O'Connor, Lucas Platt, and Nicholas Schultz. And for the women, they've got Georgia Baker, Grace Brown, Brody Chapman, Alex Manley, Sarah Roy, Amanda Spratt, and Yossi Talbot. The big omissions, obviously, is Caleb Ewan for the men's race and Sarah Gigante and Rachel Nalen for the women's edition. Let's have a look at what Caleb posted on social media after his win. He said, "This one felt really good, especially after the bad news that I won't be at my home world championships this year. To be honest, I don't have much to say on the matter other than I'm heartbroken. I won't be there to represent my country and that I believe I deserve to be there." Anyway, sob story over. What's your take, Johnny?
Yeah, they're both really, really awkward ones. I can understand why you would pick a team to back the strong guys. I mean, it's all about Michael Matthews, about bling. But, you know, it's also Joe Hindley, there's Ben O'Connor. You know, they are superstars who are strong, and this is a tough course. And I got to say, if, you know, completely honest, with Caleb can win around here, probably not. At his best, maybe. But, you know, he's not going that bad. I mean, he's had issues that stopped him winning, stages in the Tour de France. He won, the next day after they announced that he wasn't going, he won in the Dauphiné Tour. He is one of the world's best sprinters. To me, if I was a selector, I would have put him in. I would have put him in because of this reason. I would have said, you know what, we don't have to do anything if we've got Caleb there. It's not we can cover every move and say, no, everyone would expect us to ride for Caleb. So the pressure's on everyone else to do the chasing.
But the other teams know the profile. They go, yeah, but he's not going to get over. So.
You've got to get to those last circuits, and the pressure's going to be on all them to do everything, not the Australian team. I mean, it's all about Michael Matthews hanging in there and lasting, because, you know, the Belgians are going to be going for it. And it's all, Wout van Aert, everyone's talking about Wout van Aert. So it's going to be a really tough bike race. I would have put him in for that reason, but tactically, not a bad thing. And if something happens, and if there are crashes early and it all comes back, let's just step back.
Yeah, but the other teams are going to...
Let me finish. Geelong, not that different. It's almost as tough a circuit. The Geelong circuit was, long ride down from Melbourne to Geelong, and then a circuit not that dissimilar, a harder hill even. Okay, more reason to get back later. But everyone thought it would just be a blown-away race. And the two strongest bike riders in the race were Cadell the Belgian, I'll think of it in a second. And they were the two strongest bike riders in the race.
Philippe Gilbert.
But they ended up not finishing anywhere. They got caught, and the sprinters won it. Gilbert, yeah. And the sprinters took it out. So, on a course as hard. So... Don't forget
Wollongong's harder. You got 4,000 meters of climbing, and if you've got a situation where Michael Matthews is in that bunch,
you had nearly 4,000 meters of climbing at Geelong, mate. You had nearly 4,000 meters of climbing in Geelong.
Did you really?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, mate. I've been around both circuits.
I think. You take the emotion out of Wollongong, home worlds, and say this was in Spain or whatever. We wouldn't even be having this conversation. It's the emotion, the fact that it is close to his hometown. It's the home worlds. That's the big overriding, gut feeling as to why you go, that's stiff. It was purely a tactical thing where they want to have those strong guys that can pull back a break, or have a few options, as you said, with Ben O'Connor and Jai and these guys. I think it's a tough decision, but I can understand it. Yeah,
I can understand it. I mean, you look at those bike riders that are in there, and there's a couple there that are surprising. Heinrich Hausler, you would never have thought he was going to be picked in this, but he's been picked because one of the other leading contenders believes he's the right man to help him in certain situations because he knows everyone. He's a wheeler and dealer and a good bike rider. The same with Simon Clark. We know his class. He's win the Tour de France was amazing. So, you know, there are riders who are there for specific reasons. Nick Schultz is almost like a reserve chance, you know. But and Plappy, well, I think Plapp Luke's there mainly for the time trial, but you know, numbers. But I would have left one of those out and put in Caleb. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, Schultz. But then you got Schultz has obviously got better climbing legs with those sort of rides.
I didn't say Schultz was the one. I said I would have left one of those out and put him in. And again, same with the women. We've got a really good women's team. And it's, you know, Grace Brown, Alice Manley, Georgia Bacon, Brody Chapman, yeah, Sarah Roy, Amanda Spratt, Josie Talbot. They're all classy bike riders. I still can't believe that Sarah Gaganti's not in there for two reasons. One, put her in there, the under 23, which is a part of the overall. I reckon she would have won that. But look, I know, you know, she hasn't been in great form. She's not great in the bunches and all of those things. This would be a reduced bunch very quickly. I would have, is that my finger in there? Yes, it is. I would have put Sarah Gaganti because she's a superstar. And
they don't have the under 23 women's race, do they? I think they've only got the men's.
No, they don't. No. They don't have an under 23 women's race, but they have someone will be the under 23 champion out of the
elite race. Right.
In the elite race, yes. So, but I wouldn't have put in for that reason. I would have put in for the reason she's a superstar. She does these, she comes out of these crazy things and does these rides. We've seen her do it. So, yeah, there are some bike riders in there. They're all good bike riders, but I'm just talking personally, I would have put her in.
Yep. All right, well, that's Iffy's two cents, folks. We should have a new segment. Stage A profile. Ooh, this one looks pretty gnarly. You've got a Cat 2 straight off the gun. And if you're a non-climber, you make sure you pack the rollers before the start.
I can tell you, this is one they'll be dreading. I'm looking forward to I'll grab Sam Bennett and a couple of the other sprinters in the morning and say, what's your plan? Because they're going to be, so look, Sam Bennett, it's a really interesting story. He's going to get spat up there. It's a Cat 2 and they're going to go whack. He's gone. No Bora is going to stay back there because they're all going to be, they've got jobs to do for Jai Hindley at the other end of the bike race. So he's on his own. He's got to get as far as he can and hope there's a little group pedo. This is a day where we could lose two or three of the big green
sprinters.
Yeah, the sprinters. There'll be a couple gone today or tomorrow. Today for you guys.
Well, what would you be thinking if you were Jumbo?
I think Jumbo are thinking the long game. This will be pressure on, whatever. But they know Remco's got great form at the moment. So they're not going to try and attack Remco. Tomorrow, you know, today, he will, you know, be right there and they're not going to crack him. That's going to happen over a two-week period. The only thing, what's going to bring Remco unstuck is that he hasn't done, you know, the three-week grand tour and the last week is also very, very hard. And that's going to be, you know, they're all hoping what will bring him unstuck. He's a superstar and young, and I don't think he is going to crack, but it won't be tomorrow. So if I was them, I would just be racing it as normal, and Primoz will be, you know, up there going to the stage with all those big hitters. I can just see it's a massive stage and what I'm looking forward to. And the big names, Simon Yates is going to have to do something. He looked good when he had his attack, you know, 2 days ago. Couldn't do anything with it, and he stayed with them. But this is going to be a bit of a test for him as to he's capable on the stages like this. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. But no, great stage coming up.
Do you think, given that Remco is young, he's obviously got great early form. It's going to be very hard for him to ride a controlled race. If he's feeling good, particularly towards the end there, he's just going to go for it.
Yeah, he's learnt though. He's a very intelligent young man, and his exuberance has brought him unstuck already. He's so young, but no, he's not going to be stupid. It'll be a great finale. I thought like I almost got it right with my selection yesterday with Fred.
Yeah.
I had him picked all the way till about 20 minutes to go. But so it's going to be a really good stage. I wouldn't be surprised to see Simon Yates take it out. They close each other down. He's 50 seconds back. He goes whack at the right time. Remco's not going to worry too much. I'll let him get 20 seconds. I'll go for Yatesy.
Absolutely no bias there too. And Daly says, Remco, another rush of blood to the head tomorrow. They're expecting him to have a crack. Pablo Gomez, our mate from Colombia, magnificent country, says motorbikes are also an issue in professional triathlon. Some studies show that even 40 metres behind the moto, you can get an advantage. Luke Durbridge, after the finish, was clearly disappointed and made a good point when he said they were literally sprinting on the front and could not pull any time, and how you can't let brakes get more than a minute in modern-day cycling.
Yeah, exactly right. Two parts of that. The motorbikes got too close on a few occasions, and the word was getting back to the chasing peloton. The motorbikes were an issue, and so they were all complaining about it. But I don't know whether that was the actual reason. You had five guys in the front who worked really well. Okay, you got the chasing peloton with putting guys on the front, but they didn't have that much more. And it was pretty fast, tailwinds and that sort of thing, which is the perfect scenario for a good breakaway. So I picked it, 40k hours, so they're not catching these guys. So they got close.
But, and is modern day cycling, the old days is a lot of cat and mouse and brakes couldn't work together. Do you think that modern day cycling is, if we don't work together, none of us are getting to the finish line? So they do work a little bit more coherent.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we're seeing it all the time. These brakes, and they're smart now. What they're doing, they weren't going ballistic before the climb because they knew they're only going to be allowed so much time.
Yeah.
So get that time, save a little bit, ride really well up the mountain, which they did, and then put the hammer down because it was downhill and very fast. Even though it was 50K to go, 60K to go, it was 20K of descent. So they really had 40K of controlled, team time trial to the finale, and they did it well.
Yep. Last live comment, Andy Matthews. Good morning, guys. Also an issue with the lack of under-23 Aussie women. There will be a separate championship for the under-23 women this year, but unfortunately it will be from the same race. It's a good point. I mean, they just need to bite the bullet and run as a separate race, yeah?
Well, they are going
obviously, to there's logistical issues with that. But
if I can't say correctly, that's going to happen probably the year after. It just couldn't be done for this year. It should be there, and it's something that will happen. I know that the Donna Ray Selinski, my mate from Geelong, and Maddie Gilmore, the legend, are in Wollongong right now with the junior team, training them around the circuit and everything. So, Australia's taking them very seriously for these youngsters. And, we've got some amazing young kids that have been selected for this team. So we're looking to try and win quite a few rainbows. And you and I, Dan, we're going to be there doing the detour live every day from Wollongong. So it's going to be pretty special, actually.
We'll be live every day from Friday to Sunday. You're just breaking up, Johnny. Your Wi-Fi is just about dead. All right. Well, that's a good cue to say adios. We just got through that one. Thanks again for the support. YouTube.com/Detour Podcast. We'll be back again at 6:30 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time for the Vuelta. Great job, Johnny.
Adios.
We'll see you again tomorrow. That's it. Viva Colombia. See you guys.
Adios, amigos.